The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
Can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to another episode. We're going to call it an episode today. It's the Computer Corner. We're here for the next 2 hours to talk to you about technology, about computers, about issues in your life in a technical way. Actually, we don't talk in a technical way. Your issues might be technical. We'll break it down into plain English. We'll help you through it. We'll hold your hand. We'll guide you. We'll make sure that you're not scared anymore. We've been doing it for going on 12 years now here on these airwaves. And we, in our professional lives, we help people out with computers every single day. And we thought we'd take that and bring it on the air and help. Based on the things we see, we know that's the same kind of stuff that you're running into. And so if you're a do-it-yourselfer, we're here for you. If you're point me in the right direction, we're here for you. And if you're gosh, just tell me where to take it, or tell me what I need to do, or tell me what I need to tell the guy that I'm going to have fix this for me. Any of those scenarios, we're here for you. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. We've got Windows help. We got Mac help. Louis Georges with Mac Media become a fixture here on the show, and he's in the house. Louis?
Hello.
See, told you he was here.
I seem to be here more often than not.
I know. You're here more often than I am lately.
It's true.
And then we've got Ben Cruzy with our own data doctors that's out fighting the evils of the world during the week. And on the weekend, he likes to come in from time to time and hang out and help out as well. So he's got a wealth of technical knowledge he can help out. Ben, thanks for showing up.
Not a problem, Brandon.
I can't hear myself in my own head. Is that a problem?
No, it's fine.
If I max out the volume on the headphones,
it's probably best that way.
Then I can just start to hear myself. Huh. Interesting. Oh, well, we'll figure that out later on in the
show.
Yeah. Anyway, none of that matters to you, because what matters to you is that we're here for you for the next 2 hours. Again, 602-277-5827. Or you can join us online, and you can join us online. You can do both. It's not an or. It's an and. Datadoctors.com/radio. Datadoctors.com/radio. That's where you'll find links to information and how you can give us feedback and talk to us here on the air. Well, not really talk to us, write to us via the magic powers of the internet. Those things come to us here in the studio. You'll see the feedback links on the right-hand side. You can click on those and follow along. That'll get you a direct line here in case you're trying to dial and getting a busy signal or you're a little bit shy. We read each and every one of those things. We try to respond to everything. And whether we get it on the air or not, we're here to help you out. So again, datadoctors.com/radio. You're going to see there that we have a theme like we do each and every week. And that theme comes along with resources and a bunch of things to help guide that theme. And this week we thought, based on what's happening out there in the world and some new announcements about more job losses and Arizona ranking up there with job losses, we thought we'd talk a little bit about some places that you can use technology to go find a new job. Or maybe you're not unemployed. You just want to upgrade the job you already got. You want to see what else is out there available. We've got lots of resources. And we can talk a little bit about this throughout the show. 602-277-5827. Again, online, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see the best job search sites. And we might take it beyond just the job search sites, depending on where you want to go, you, the listener. And if you've got some search sites of your own that you think are pretty cool that you've used to actually land a job, or you've used any of the sites that we have listed. And we have quite a few. There's Career Builder and, of course, Craigslist, which is kind of an interesting way that people use to hook up and meet up if they have similar interests, or to buy and sell things, or to trade things, but also a way to go and advertise as an employer looking for people, and as an employee or potential employee looking for jobs, a place to go and look. And it's interesting that the most plain Jane, simple white web page with blue underlined links has become such a popular thing, and it serves so many different purposes in life, but that's one of them. There's Job Central, Job Serve, Job Stir, lots of ones that have the word job in them.
What about Monster?
What about Monster? What about the Monster? What about Jobbing? Right? We have Jobbing. The Jobbing.com arena over there on the west side.
It's true.
So there's all kinds of choices out there. We have links to them at our site. You can check those things out. The ladders. What about that? That's the 100,000K plus jobs. And only 100,000K plus jobs. If that's your realm, if that's the background you come from, like Ben, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where Ben searches for jobs every day.
No, not really.
As soon as they're looking for a guy with all Ben's qualifications, the ladders is where it's at for Ben.
The ladders.
I
Dice.com.
Dice.com. I forgot about Dice.
Yeah.
There's tons and tons of them out there. If you've used any of those,
you know,
to
I get
help
stuff
you find
from
a job.
Dice.com on a daily basis. They call, they send emails, they send magazines, they send little flyers.
They're trying to solicit you as a employer.
I don't know.
I can't remember if it's Dice or a different one, but one of them, I believe, is just like if you're an employer and you're looking for employees, you can just find hourly rate employees on there. I forgot which one. I can't remember if it's just Dice or another one.
If it's not that one, we should go start hourly rate employees for you right now if you need them.com. That'd be awesome, right?
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like Craigslist. They used to, for employers, when you used to post the jobs on Craigslist, it used to be free. But just recently, like a few months ago, they started charging for that.
Well, yeah, different markets are different, though.
Yeah.
So the markets that are more popular. So, for example, Phoenix, there's a charge. But we have stores in other markets like in Salt Lake City. We don't pay to post a job listing there. Or if we post in San Diego, we got some stores. We don't pay there. We don't pay in Tucson. We do pay in, in San Diego, you do in San Diego proper. But like in North County, San Diego, you don't, which is like a little niche side site, right? It's interesting. Different areas, they're starting to introduce charges for those kinds of
things.
It's
such a cheap price, though, compared to like some of the other sites. So it's,
oh, yeah.
It's worth it.
And if you're an employer and you've never thought about or never used one of these kind of sites and you're looking for a place to go and find a nice stream of qualified folks, these sites are something you really ought to think about. There's a couple of them that will package together. And so you can go to like the traditional, the newspaper, let's say. You could go to the Republic here locally and you can get a package deal where it will run for a weekend there. Plus they'll put it at Career Builder as an example for 3 weeks or something. That's a package. They have all kinds of things. If you're not quite ready to make that jump and you want to try it out, there's things you can do to help bridge that gap. But you can, if you've never tried that and you're looking for people, I would recommend you at least give it a shot. Also, if you want to help control the traffic somewhat, just go put an ad that sends people to your own company's website. So, for example, Lewis was going to run an ad. He was looking for qualified Mac techs. Rather than just go at Craigslist and run an ad saying, give me a call, and he might just be overloaded with a lot of people wanting to know a bunch of questions and details, which may or may not be real easy to incorporate, Lewis would be smarter to go and set up a job section at his website and then direct people from Craigslist and any of these sites, Jobbing, whatever site he wanted to go and advertise on, direct people to that job section at his site. And there he would have all the qualifications, the experience requirements, the salary, and potentially even an online application, maybe some sort of test. In our case, we're always looking for people. We've got a job section at our site. We have a small, if you're looking for a technical position, we have a small technical test that we require people to go through as part of their application. And you can do all that and help make sure that you're filtering out and getting only the sort of the quality individuals you're looking for. So lots of interesting things out there. That's the topic of the show. Of course, we can take the conversation any direction you want to go. 602-277-5827. That's the number for you. We're going to take a quick timeout here, get a check of some of the stuff going around, and we'll be back right after this. Google launching what they're calling a new service. It's just a repackaged version of something that they've had for a while. If you ever tried, heard about, saw, perused the old Grand Central system, it's being renamed. Features are being added. It's called Google Voice. You can find it at voice.google.com. And you might get a warning message that it's not quite ready for you if you're a past Grand Central subscriber. You should be getting an email letting you know that you are being converted and a couple of steps you have to take. And It's something we'll have to probably talk about down the road. It's kind of a cool system where you take your all your friends and family and people that you care about being able to call you, and rather than them having your work number and your home number and your cell phone number and whatever other number you have, like in the case of Lewis, your vacation home and your, you know, those kinds of things. They don't have to have all these different phone numbers, and then they're calling one and then the next, or calling one, leaving a message, and then calling another one, and then calling a third one and finally talking to you, and 3 days later you get the message that they left thinking that you need to call them back. And yeah, now the Grand Central, and now called Google Voice, eliminates all of that. They issue you a new phone number in an area code of your choosing. For example, you can get a 602 or a 480 number, right? You give that to all your friends and family. When that number is dialed, it rings all of your devices and all your places. And if you don't answer, it leaves a voicemail that then sends you an email with the voicemail attached, or you can listen to it online. It kind of decentralizes all that. Plus, you can have special different voicemails. So when Ben calls, my message can say, "Hey, Ben, sorry I'm not available for you, dude. Leave me a message." But when Lewis calls, my message could say, "Hey, baby. haven't heard from you in a while.
That's
what are you wearing?" Right? That kind of thing. So it can be different for different people and give you the options. You can also choose to accept the call and listen, or you can press another button to send them straight to voicemail, or another button to send them to voicemail, but listen in while they're leaving the message. Kind of some cool stuff.
Or if a telemarketer's calling you, or a collections agency.
Even better, if they're calling, you can not only send them to voicemail, you can send them to a special voicemail that
tells really
them
long.
Go away, right?
Yeah, like 20-minute message saying
and
go away.
And you can make it so that if that number ever dials you again, it automatically goes to the go away.
Ooh,
super secret.
Like, yeah, but those telemarketers are sneaky because the numbers always pop up different.
But you can make it so that anybody other than your friend list just go straight to voicemail.
So if you get a call from 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-0.
Right, that's kind of a problem, right? Anyway, it's a cool thing if you want to check out some of the features, and it's also free, by the way.
So a lot of this is kind of like a voice over IP technology?
Not really. They're on their end probably doing some sort of something like that, but really all they're doing is they're providing is a new phone number that directs to all your existing phones. And the other cool part is, so what if you send out to all your peeps, right? Here's my new number, my new digits, and some of them don't really get on the bandwagon too quickly, and they call your old number, no big deal, because they still work as well. So it's interesting. It's cool. Check it out, voice.google.com.
I'm going to have to correct you, too. We don't call them peeps anymore. They're tweeps.
Tweeps? Well, only if you're talking about the tweeple in your Twitter.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think Ken got a little out of control about all that, didn't he?
He's very excited about it.
Yeah, he tweets a lot.
We haven't got anything from him today yet.
Yeah, he's
from the mountains.
He's on assignment, Lewis.
On assignment.
I'm supposed to. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Gosh, I haven't said that since I was like six. I'm supposed to say that he's on assignment when he's actually enjoying, I think, an early spring break on the snowboarding slope somewhere in Colorado. So,
in prison town.
Prison town. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, should we... there's a lot of people that have called up that want to talk to us.
Lots of tweets.
I think we should talk to them.
Let's do it.
See what's happening out there in the world of phonedom. First up, it's... if I can push the right button, it's Dan on the computer corner. Dan, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Dan. Wow, you're loud.
Well, I'll get the volume turned up. I can barely hear you. Hey, I've got an HP compact business notebook. It's got a broken hinge, and I sent off and got a new hinge, but the backing plate that it bolts to is broken. Any ideas?
Wherever you sent it off to, was that broken before, or was it broken after?
No. I sent off and purchased some...
I thought you sent it off to be repaired, and it came back in worse condition. I was going to say, I got an idea, but that's not the case. So the backing plate?
Yeah, where the actual hinge bolts to is broken.
Other than get a new backing plate, which sort of sounds obvious, but I mean, before you go down that path, this is something I kind of want to talk to you a little bit off the air about, because I got some advice, which may be to not go too far down that rabbit hole. You could spend a lot on onesie-twosie parts and end up replacing the thing anyway, so we're going to take a quick time out here. We're going to get you caught up with some traffic and some news. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. It's Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Before we went to break, we were talking to Doug.
With that gentleman.
Yes, we were. That gentleman. And he was talking about fixing hardware issues on laptops. And it's something that I don't know how you feel about it, Lewis. So maybe you can give us your input. But if a laptop is 6 months old, a year old, 2 years old, probably makes sense to throw some dollars into fixing things. And obviously there's warranty and there's extended protection plans and things that may come into play. But we see people sometimes that want to take 7-year-old, 6-year-old laptops, 8-year-old laptops and put money into fixing them. And where it may make sense to do that on desktop, it hardly ever does on a laptop. And with desktops, the parts, it's sort of parts as parts. I mean, not exactly that, but if you've got a pick a brand machine and it's 6-7 years old and you've got some hardware problems, there's an excellent chance, with very few exceptions, that I can go out and get just about any parts, whether they're high quality, low quality, mid quality, whatever it is, I can get just about any parts and fix that thing, and it's fairly cost effective to do so. When we talk about laptops, notebooks, netbooks, whatever you want to call these things, every manufacturer and each model sometimes, they're very different parts. And so what that does is causes the supply to be diminished, and it increases the price, which means you're going to pay a lot more for similar kinds of parts to their desktop cousins. And they're smaller and miniaturized, which means they're harder to work with, so you've got more time involved in doing it. And so a lot of times you can get yourself down this weird rabbit hole where you start by doing one thing, which leads to another, which leads to three or four. And before you know it, you've replaced half this thing, and you step back and go, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense.
You know, I had a car like that once.
Yeah, a money pit.
The money pit. I just kept dropping money into it, praying that it would work, and then something else would break, and I put more money into it.
Yep.
But the only thing, since we are talking about jobbing, the jobbing world and the economy, one of those things that we do see more often than not in our stores these days is people coming to get older products fixed.
Yes.
And not necessarily replacing, whereas last year or 2 years ago, they've been more apt to replace that product.
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing.
And not thinking about fixing it. So.
Right, so it's definitely worth looking at, but my advice, where I was going with all that, is that you step back and do like the auto repair business does. In a lot of ways, if my car gets crashed up, the guy at the body shop doesn't just look at sort of the quick stuff on the outside. He knows that there's damage underneath, and so oftentimes they're going to peel back a few layers and look underneath and assess the entire damage, so they have a good idea before they get started. Otherwise, they might tear into that car and find more and more and more, and what made sense from the outset doesn't make any sense when you're halfway through it, or when you're halfway through a plan. So you need to just step back, look at the entire thing, get somebody that can help you look at the entire thing, see if it makes sense when you know the entire picture and not just a little piece or a little part here or there. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I think any good repair center would do exactly what you said.
Yeah, you just got to look a little bit deeper than just the surface, because you might find yourself getting 5 or 6 or 12 parts into something without, you know, if you start that way, that's one thing. But if that's where you end up and you don't realize till you're already done that, wow, this maybe wasn't something that made a lot of sense, then you're kind of in trouble.
Definitely. Well, and I think, too, with computers, people try to, you know, call you up and say, hey, you know, I need a part for my computer system because I know this is broken. But they don't necessarily go through all the steps to figure out whether or not something else might be failing down the line.
Right. Absolutely. Anyway, we've got resources, as Lewis alluded to, on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Resources if you're on the job search, whether you're looking for a job because you don't have one, or looking for a replacement job, or if you're an employer looking for a place to go and look for those looking for jobs. Any of those resources, all there for you, datadoctors.com/radio. Of course, we also have lines open for you, 602-277-5827. Your call can be about that, or about any issues surrounding technology, computers. It could be smartphones. It could be just about anything in the technology arena. We could probably help. So give us a call, 602-277-5827. That's the number that Byron dialed. Byron, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. How can we help?
Hey, I got a computer and I got a DVD drive. When I put a DVD, the little light goes green and it just nothing happens. I tried DVD. I tried a CD. Same thing.
Does it spit the disc out at you?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Does it spit the disc out at any time?
No. It doesn't do anything.
So you're putting the disc in, and you're expecting it to just start playing, and it's doing nothing, which could mean that it's not recognizing the disc. It could mean that the drive's not hooked up properly, or it could mean that something called autoplay has been disabled, which would be... It's doing what you've asked it to do, sort of. Maybe you didn't know you were asking it to. So a couple things you can do. What I would start by is going into your My Computer. You know how to do that?
Yes.
Okay. When you're in there, you should see the DVD drive as a drive letter. Usually
yes.
It'll be drive letter D or E.
Yes.
You double-click on that. And it should either launch what you were expecting it to do before, or it should bring up sort of a view, if you will, of all the files and folders or content of what's on that disk?
Yes. And I tried that already, and it says, you know, I tried the autoplay, and it's checked a little box. I think there's a little box in there.
Yep.
And I tried that, and then I went to I think it's E, and it says, you know, check for updates, everything's good, and check for, and it says this drive is working properly, but it doesn't, when I put a disk, it doesn't work. I also had a CD drive. I had two, you know, the lower tray is a CD, and that works fine. It's just that when I put a DVD or CD at the top, it blinks when it goes in, but then it says there's no disc inside.
Okay. So has anybody been, well, first, has the drive been replaced at all, or is it the original drive?
It's the original drive. It's about 2 years old.
Okay. And it did work at some point in the past? It just stopped working?
Yes, it stopped working about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and anybody been inside the machine in the last couple of weeks, maybe upgrading memory or blowing it out or doing anything like that?
No, not that I'm aware.
Okay, well, it could just be that the drive's done. Those drives do go bad. The good news is that they're not very expensive to replace on desktop machines.
Okay.
Generally speaking, cost-wise of just the part, I'm going to say in the $70 range. It could be plus or minus $20, depending on features, unless you're going to go for... like a replacement one that has the ability to replay Blu-ray, which is now available for PCs and Macs. It's going to add some money to that. I think those go for around $220-ish.
Yeah, okay. I've seen them as low as $180, I think,
yeah.
SATA interface.
So
and guys, are those PC just plug it in?
Yeah, there's
anyone?
Yeah, there's generally going to be two different interfaces, so you got to make sure that what I would do is take the old one out. If you're going to try to do this yourself, take the old one out, and wherever you go to buy a replacement, bring the old one with you so that somebody can make sure you get the exact right thing.
Okay?
Number one. Number two, if it's using the older kind of more common technology, what we called ATA or IDE interface.
Okay.
One of the cables is going to be two cables. One's a power cable. It can only go in one way, so you can't plug it in incorrectly. But the data cable is going to be a gray cable. And pay attention to that cable very carefully. You're going to see on one end, it's going to have like a red stripe, and only on one end. It's very, very important that that end be aligned properly with the new drive. And it's from a technical standpoint, there's a place we call the pin one alignment. That's where that red stripe goes to. But just look at the way it's physically aligned and make sure with the replacement drive it's the same, and you'll be in good shape.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much, guys.
You bet.
I think one of those things we didn't mention, too, was also the jumpers.
Oh, yeah.
On some of the drives.
See,
yeah, so you have...
That's if it's IDE, though.
If it's IDE, you have master, slave, and cable select.
Right.
So...
make sure to match it with whatever the old one
so
was.
So match that up when you bring that drive in. Match those jumpers up.
In fact, ask the place where you're buying it if there's anybody that has any kind of skills at all that's helping you. If they can just make sure the jumper settings are set the same as your old drive for you. And you can write that down. The jumper settings. You want to let them set that for you the same way.
Yeah.
And if the place can't help you with that, you might want to run out of that place and go to some other place that can. So that hopefully will help you out there. That opens up a line of 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Any of you guys ever used, Ben, when you in the past, long before you came to the mighty Data Doctors empire?
Okay.
Do you use any of those job search sites to help you find employment, help you find work?
Monster.
Monster?
I use Monster.
What was it about the Monster that you as a guy looking for work sort of attracted
I'm such a monster.
It was those commercials with the cute little monster guy in the corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Monsters tends to skew to a more technical crowd, both from the employer standpoint and the employees. So that would make sense. And so there are different sites, and some of them are generic in nature, but some of them are specifically for different types of industries.
Yep.
And you can do a quick Google search. If our list of sites at datadoctors.com/radio, that list there under the resources section, if that's not comprehensive enough for you, a quick Google search for job search space, you know, job space search space, and then your general career field. So if it was aviation, you could put that in. If it was astronomy, whatever it is, put that in, and you're going to find probably there's going to be, in a lot of cases, a specific type of job search site just for your industry. So
another really good one is just your local newspaper online, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The local newspaper, but the online version.
Yes.
Right, because online. It's probably a little bit more up-to-date than the paper version that you're getting.
Yep.
You know, I found with Mac Media, you know, we used to use a lot of these other companies, and then we just started going to Craigslist exclusively.
Yep.
And we found that the candidates were just as qualified on Craigslist as they were anywhere else. And,
but that may be because of the industry we're in, because I agree with you.
Yeah.
But we're in an industry that's, we're looking for people that are technicians, and these guys definitely know about Craigslist. They know how to navigate it. They know how to use it, right? So I wonder if that same thing would hold true for other industries. I don't know.
Hmm.
But the nice
someone
thing
will
is
have
it's,
to call in and chime about that.
It's probably the least expensive to try out if you're an employer and looking for people, so I'd at least give it a shot.
Why not? As everything's worth one shot if you're looking for a good employee.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. We've also got coming up our Geek Speak of the Week and well, some special stuff. We'll tell you about that when we come back right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Fear not, because this hour is coming to an end, but we've got a full another hour for you, so you'll want to make sure you stick around for that. And starting out the next hour, we'll have our Geek Speak of the Week, our Head Whack of the Week. We'll let Ben talk a little. All this, I know, is very exciting.
You're going
to
let me talk?
We're going to let you talk a little.
Yay.
All this is very exciting. We told you there's something interesting coming out, and it's interesting at least to us. And for any of you that are iPhone holders, carriers, users, those guys, consumers, if you have an iPhone, the next big release, because there's been lots of little releases, but the next big release of the iPhone software, supposedly coming out in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, 17th of March.
A few days.
About 2 weeks.
Not too far. From,
is that 2 weeks?
Too far. What's down
today?
The line.
Today's the 14th.
Today's the 14th? When did it become the 14th? Holy cow.
Tuesday. Upcoming operating system version 3.0.
Pete, did you know it was the 14th? Of course you knew. Pete's the guy that makes the show run smooth.
He's got a calendar right next
to him. We just come on and talk, and then he shakes his head like a sad, like, what are you guys doing in there?
Look at these babbling idiots.
Because we don't even talk well, and we push the wrong buttons, and we talk over when we're supposed to be out, and our headphones are busted up, and yeah. He knew it was the 14th. We have no idea. At least I had no idea.
That's how I was answering the phone yesterday. Thanks for calling Mac Media. It's Friday the 13th.
Oh, hey, so there you go. Oh,
we made it past it, though.
Luckily. Why wouldn't we?
I don't know.
Do you know I was born on a Friday and it was the 13th?
Was it?
Nice.
It was. So Friday the 13th to me is a good thing.
That's what happened to him.
And Pete just back there mumbled something, and I bet you he says figures. Yeah. I knew it. Should we go back to the phones?
Let's
help
do
people?
It.
That's kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, we got crashed while running Norton. This sounds like probably the first time we've ever heard that a computer crashed while running Norton.
Not.
Garrett, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Thank you. Basically, I have an Alienware computer that has Windows XP, so I just one day decided I better do a virus scan. So I was running it, came back, and noticed that the screen was frozen in place. And so I did the only thing I could do, which was reboot it. Well, when I rebooted it, Windows wouldn't boot back up. So, in a nutshell, what I ended up determining was the computer told me that Windows couldn't boot because I'm missing a System 32, blah, 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 NVATA bus DLL file. And then on top of that, the computer is also telling me that my file system isn't recognized. Basically, it's telling me my NTFS file system isn't there.
So I told you Norton eats data, Brandon.
Well, so what you're talking about, what you're describing is one of two issues. You either got the operating system got corrupted somehow in the process of scanning, mm-hmm. And probably something else was going on at the same time, and the two were fighting with each other, and here's the battle scar, so to speak. So there's either operating system corruption, which would be better news than the other choice, which is that there's something physically wrong with the hard drive where it's in the early stages of failure.
Correct.
But in both cases, I'm sure you're going to tell me the good news is you do back up regularly, right?
The good news is about a week or so before, I bought an external hard drive to do such, but didn't do it.
Oh,
you had us going. We were
so close.
We were going to cheer for you. So you bought the drive with all the good intentions.
Yes.
But the procrastination lord got to you and said, just wait. You can wait, right?
You did the same thing I do with the paperwork at home.
All right.
And, of course, my situation is I have to recover my information on the drives. It's a RAID 0 setup. I have to recover my information.
Oh, no. The story is not getting better. For those listening, a RAID 0 setup is a technical term, meaning we take two hard drives, and in order to get more speed, because hard drives are inherently slow, we do something called data interleaving. And what that really means is that we stack data. And so we take and put a little piece of every file on both drives.
And then it goes back and forth and back and forth.
And some people think we fill up one drive and then we overflow to a second. That is not indeed how this works. We really do go. It's like a card dealer in Vegas where there's two people playing and one dealer, and he's chucking one card to Lewis, one to Ben, one to Lewis, one to Ben, until we get down the whole deck. And now Lewis has 26 and Ben has 26. And it wasn't like we split the deck in half and just handed it to each of them. They each have an interleaved set, if that makes sense. So that puts your data at lots and lots of risk, and it's a case that I don't recommend unless, A, you back up very diligently, or B, you don't really care about data. You have some kind of machine that's just used for production, and data is just a sort of a side thought.
Yeah, do not disconnect those drives.
So, Garrett, if you care about data on those drives,
yes,
you probably want to get some professionals involved here, because this is not, I wouldn't normally say data recovery is a do-it-yourselfer thing anyway, but when you have a drive set up like you do, definitely not. This, if you care about that data, you don't have backups, you're going to have to engage some professionals to help you out. And when you get things set back up, you're going to want to make sure that that hard drive comes out of that box and gets used, that external drive, very regularly.
Okay, but then is this something that can be fixed, or do I have to go send it in and have the data actually recovered?
It possibly can be fixed, but since the data is important, we got to deal with that first. And in the process, maybe it can be fixed, which saves you money on the recovery and fixes you, but probably it's going to be recovered first, fixed later, and that's a separate process. So, Garrett, hope that helps you out. Thanks for the call. We got a line open for you. We'll be back just after this short break. It's the Computer Corner, 602-277-5827.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
Can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We've got a full board of callers. I want to throw out the phone number so when you hear somebody hang up, you can dial in. It's 602-277-5827. 277-KTAR. And we, of course, hope you join us online at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Or if you can't figure out the whole slash thing, just datadoctors.com. You click where it says radio show, and you'll be there. We've got links. We've got resources. If you're out looking for a job in this crazy economy, we thought it'd be good to do a show to give you some information, resources, links, and such where you can go and peruse. And so that's what we got there for you. If you're an employer looking for people, you can go out and advertise those positions and draw the best in. So check those things out again, datadoctors.com/radio. Before we go back to the phones, it's time for something we do each and every week that we call our Geek Speak of the Week. The idea here, we bring you a term from the language of geekdom, We break it down for you in plain English so that you know what those geeks, nerds, and jerks are saying out there in the world when they're talking to you so you can properly speak back and show them what's up. Right, Ben?
That's right.
What's this week's Geek Speak of the Week?
It's called Tweet Up.
Tweet Up?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Tweet Up.
Tweet Up?
What?
Yeah. What a tweet up is when you meet somebody from Twitter.
You meet one of your tweets?
Yeah.
So it's like a meetup.
A social meetup.
But we've just added a T to it.
Mm.
I'm so confused, Ben. How did we come up with such wacky geek speakers?
I don't know. I bet the guy was paid a lot of money for coming up with this word. He had to have been. That's a tough one to come up with.
A tweet up.
Yeah, tweet up.
That's the best we could do.
Yeah. I'm going to go to some tweet ups tonight. Be like, hey, you want a tweet up?
Oh, I thought that would be like sit ups.
Oh. I don't think I can do sit up.
You can't do one?
Maybe one.
Try.
I'll try later.
Right now?
No, on our break.
It's like after I slug down this 40-ounce Coke.
All right. Well, we're going to hold you to that, you know, during the break.
All right. I'll do one for you guys.
All right. We'll let everybody else know if Ben was able to complete a tweet up, which is another name for a sit up.
Or a meetup.
Or a meetup on a social network site.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Call Twitter.
What's all right. MySpace?
Let's get back to the phones and...
move along.
Yeah. It's a question we get often here from Carmen, who, I'll let Carmen ask her question. Carmen, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Oh, yes. Okay. I have two securities of my laptop. One's Norton, one's 8DG. Is that good or bad, and which one's better?
So you've got two antivirus programs running at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. So...
I'm new at computers, so...
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a quick education. This is for everybody listening. In the world of antivirus software...
Okay.
One is good, and two is not better. And three is definitely not better than that. So
okay.
we've definitely got to eliminate one. And so if you're asking if my choices are between, again, which two, AVG and something else?
Norton.
Yeah.
Well, if those are my only two choices, I'm going to pick AVG.
Okay.
But if I was going to choose from all the things out there available in the world, I'd choose none of the above.
Oh, okay. What do you suggest then?
What I run on my computer at home and my wife's computer, my office computers, what we generally recommend in our business, we recommend something called the WebRoot antivirus.
WebRoot?
WebRoot.
Okay, WebRoot, okay.
Yep, and that's antivirus and antispyware software combined generally is the what we think is the best package because today it's not just viruses, it's viruses and adware and spyware and the whole gamut of stuff that we generally refer to now as malware. And so you need something that has adequate protection in both areas.
Okay.
So
with WebRoot. Okay.
That's if it's me, that's what I'd use now. This is one of those things like you ask a guy what's the best car, and some guy's going to say Chevy, some going to say Ford, some's going to say Dodge, and others going to say Toyota. It is some personal preference there.
Uh-huh.
And what I think is the best thing today is not the same thing I thought it was a couple years ago. So it does change over time as well.
Oh, okay.
But today, if you're asking me or if you're asking Ben in this room, Lewis has a different opinion because he runs a Mac, which is, as of today, a lot less susceptible to viruses.
Oh, okay.
So his opinion is none of the above. And his opinion is none of the above for everything on the entire planet. But also, Lewis is a fairly technical guy, so I don't know if that would be the same advice he'd have for customers.
Okay.
For those of us in the Windows world, that's the advice in the room.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for the call, Carmen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I put her on hold. Why did I do that? See? Thank you. Pete saved me again. It's like I've never done this before. You would think after a decade or so that I'd know what to press when.
You were a seasoned veteran up to a month ago.
I know. Apparently, I've lost all touch of reality.
Aww.
I'm sorry about that. I'm going to apologize to you guys, to Pete, and most importantly to people listening because I'm failing right now. Oh well, let's move on and see if Greg thinks we're failing as well. Greg, welcome to the Computer Corner.
How are you guys doing today?
Failing, actually.
Well, that's a shame. I've got a strange scenario. I have an HP laptop. Quite some time ago, it started giving me weird errors about missing files. So I finally just because I don't really have anything on there that I keep other than pictures or I send emails. I reformatted the computer, and the computer works fine. Other than my internet provider is Cox, when I use Outlook Express to send and receive emails, when I'm sending an email and I use spell check, the spell check actually doesn't use English language. It uses a foreign language, and I don't know what foreign language it is, so that's my myth.
So you don't know what foreign language it is, and nope. you would prefer it to spell check in English rather than
absolutely
Igpe Atinle.
Now, is it a lot? Is it a lot of characters that you're seeing, or is it an actual language?
No, it's actually an example. If you're trying to spell check the word free, I know that sounds kind of weird. It kind of gives you F R E, and then it'll give you a hyphen or something. It's just it's not Arabic. It's definitely a foreign language.
Google Translate. Try.
Yeah.
Awesome. So which program did you say has the spell check function that's doing the craziness?
I'm using Outlook Express.
Outlook Express.
Send email.
Wow. So Outlook Express, a funny known fact, Outlook Express doesn't have its own built-in spell check.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know this. Outlook Express, if you don't have Microsoft Word installed, will not have a spell check feature.
Okay. Well, I did go back to, I do use Microsoft Word. I think it's 07.
Yep.
So
Outlook Express relies on the spell checker built into Word, and it's not a setting that we're going to look for in Outlook Express, believe it or not, even though that's the problem you're having.
Okay.
We need to go into Word, and I'm with 07 version, I don't have it installed on this machine here. I'm trying to think, you go under it's not file, but it's one of the tools and then options or tools and preferences, something like that.
I look for the language.
Yeah, there's a couple of tabs inside of there, and one's going to have information dealing with the spell checker.
Okay.
And it's going to be buried away in one of those little tabs under the preferences or options or something along those lines.
Okay.
And I wish I had it in front of me so I could walk you through step by step, but I don't.
No, that's fine. I think I can handle it from there. I just didn't know that.
So yeah, the big dot to connect is that we got to look inside of Microsoft Word, not in Outlook Express, which is super counterintuitive. But
I'm sure, and I haven't used, I just recently reformatted this and put 07 back on there. So my guess is if I was to probably spell check a letter through 07, it's probably doing the same thing.
I would guess that would be the case. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I'll check into it. Thank you.
You bet, and hope that helps. Good luck.
You did. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think with Office 07, there was a spell check issue when it first came out.
Yeah.
A while ago.
Outlook Express is such a... It's a weird program because it's Microsoft's sort of abandoned software. They're going now with this Microsoft Mail, which is like Outlook Lite. And Outlook and Outlook Express have zero to do with each other. They're very different the way they work. And it's as people who work in this world, it was one of the worst things Microsoft ever did because it's really tough to deal with people that come in and they don't even know which one they have because they both sound sort of the same, but they're so not. And
that gentleman may want to see if he has all his updates as well.
And
his Office package.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can do that by going to Microsoft's update site. Not the regular Windows update. When you're there, it'll link you to the Microsoft update site, and that'll get you everything. So give those things a shot, Greg, and hopefully that helps out. We got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're here to help you if you've got technology questions, you got computer issues, if it's a Mac, if it's a Windows PC, if you got a smartphone and you want to know how to make it, well, maybe not that, I don't know. But we're here to help with just about anything you got that's technology related. We can do it at 602-277-5827 or, of course, online, datadoctors.com/radio. And while you're there at the website... Besides links to give us feedback, ask questions, that kind of stuff, you'll see links and information on places you can search for, hunt for, find, or post jobs online. We thought with everything going on in the economy and job losses that we'd try to hook you up, so to speak, including, you guys are looking for people right now over Mac Media, right?
We're always looking for people.
We're looking for people right now, and we've got a link for our own. I don't know if we have Mac Media's in it. Let me see if we do. If we don't, I'll tell you how you get the Mac Media's stuff. We don't. We failed. Well, MacMedia.com in the lower left-hand corner.
MacMediaInc.com.
MacMediaInc. Gosh, I failed.
Whoa.
I'm failing so often
Stop
today.
It.
Bottom
so,
left-hand corner.
Bottom. Look for the post-it note. And it should be clear sailing from there. So, see, we're here trying to hook you up in every way we can. Back to the phones. All right. You guys concur. By your silence, I'll assume you mean yes.
We
yes.
do the radio nod.
Hey, we've got Dave on the line. Dave's got a Gateway computer and has got issues because he can't hear no nothing. Right, Dave?
Yes.
Yes, and Dave, he's got a speakerphone, which is evil for radio. Evil.
I fixed that.
Thank you, sir. So you got sound issues?
Yeah, well, no sound.
No sound. Tell us about that.
Well, I had a kind of a software crash, I mean a Windows operating system crash a month or so ago, and so I did a restore and ended up with most of my programs and everything, data, everything put into a backup file on my C drive. But anyway, since then I have no sound, and so if I try to go in and, you know, do the hardware, whatever I've tried to do so far hasn't worked.
Okay. Do you know how to get into something called your device manager?
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay. And tell us what you see specifically. Do you see anything with a red X or a yellow exclamation point?
Yeah, yellow, lots of yellows.
Okay. Every one of those things that you see that's yellow means that Windows doesn't recognize some piece of hardware. And without its recognition of that hardware properly, it can't use it. And so I'm sure your sound card is accounting for at least two or three of those yellows. Because the sound card actually has sound input, output, plus a couple other cool things. And it Windows needs to be able to talk to it a lot for you to be able to hear sounds. So this is sometimes a simple thing to fix, sometimes a less simple thing. Is this you said it's a gateway computer?
Yes.
Okay, so the good news is, unless you've added some extra third-party sound card that you bought to this thing, if it's the original thing that came with it, you should be able to go right to Gateway's website and go into their support section. And somewhere along the way, it's going to give you the ability to download drivers.
And I actually looked it up for him already.
You're so awesome.
Support.gateway.com/support/drivers.
All right, so support.gateway.com/support/drivers. Once you're there, you're just going to need to give it probably a model number or look up by model number of the exact gateway computer you have. And then you should be taken to where you can download drivers for all those little things that you have. And what I would do is go ahead and just go create a folder on your C drive called drivers and go download everything that they have available to you and put it into that folder. And then once you're done downloading all the stuff, then you can run each one of those little files that you download and should take care of your problems.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, something else that happened at the same time. When I go to shut down Windows, I know I have three choices between the one for standby no longer is an option. It doesn't highlight.
Yep. It may come back once you get your drivers installed.
Oh, same issue. Same.
Yeah, until you get drivers installed, you haven't finished installing Windows yet. So any other issues you have, I wouldn't waste any time with. Because most people think you stick the disk in and that's installing Windows. That's the beginning. That's like step one and one and a half. There's probably four more steps left to do.
Okay.
Step two is get your drivers in. Step three is get all the updates. Step four, make sure you've got good antivirus and spyware software that you keep up to date, and you got your backup strategy in place and working properly. Now you can use your computer.
Okay.
All right? So a few steps left.
Okay, great.
All right, good luck with that, Dave. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for your help.
You bet. With that, we got a line open, 602-277-5827. Ben wants you to call. Lewis wants you to call. I kind of want you to call. And for Mark, Henry, Rich, Steph, you folks sit tight. We're going to get to you on the other side of this quick news break. And, of course, when we come back, more of those calls and questions. I don't know if we talked about our head whack of the week, but it's pretty good, too. And we even have a tip? We do. We got all kinds of cool stuff. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's our final half hour. We're talking about technology, about computers. We're talking about places you can find jobs online. We've got links and resources, including the guy listening who asked, hey, you mentioned some place where I could find $100,000 plus jobs. Well, yeah, you have to be qualified for them, but yes, we have the links to that.
Just go to the ladders.
The ladders.
But if you can't figure out how to spell that, because this guy was asking, is that ladders like T-T-E-R-S or D-D-E?
Not like chutes and ladders?
We're going to make it easy for you. Datadoctors.com/radio. All of the places that we could dig up that made any sense at all for job searching, we listed them all there. You just scroll down under resources, or actually it says this week's links to make it simple for you. They're all right there, including the 100,000 plus job search place thing and stuff. And then if you're wondering where you could find the job to be in Major League Baseball or in the NBA, you've got to be really good and then discovered. So they don't have a site for that I'm aware of. I want to join the NBA.com.
I want a $23 million job with the NBA.
Yeah, well, Ben, you didn't. Oh, you busted.
You didn't do your push-up yet, or your sit-up.
I just remembered that. I was going to say you have to be able to do that before you can go on the NBA. I'm sure.
One sit-up
at least. Hey, someone named P. Gilmore. We don't know what their first name is. It just starts with a P. They ask, are there any better or more complete and comprehensive search engines than Google? If so, who? Hey, Pete, you know of any better, complete, more comprehensive search engine than Google? That's a blank stare. No. The word Google itself, Ben just learned this. The word itself means like the most complete, most comprehensive, and there's a reason that's the number one search engine.
So you said there was infinity.
Yeah.
And then there was Google.
Yes, which is bigger than infinity. Right.
It's a real word. A real word.
Yes, go look it up. It was
I believe
Wikipedia,
you.
Bro.
I did look it up. It gave me back rub from 1996.
Yeah, the original name, that was a bad name. Okay, give them a break. But there was a company that claimed that they were going to be a more complete and comprehensive search engine. Remember that thing that came out a couple months ago, really? Cool? Spelled like K-U-E-L or C-U-E-L? How did you spell that thing?
I did remember seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, they're already out of business. The biggest reason they were out of business, they claimed that, first of all, it was one of the founders of this company was one of the original people from Google. So it had some credible people on board. Their claim was that all the search engines, including Google, were not complete, were not comprehensive, were not fast. They only indexed a very small portion of the world. I mean, all these crazy claims. And they had come up with some newfound technology, new algorithms. They could index the world 100 times faster than anybody else, and therefore they'd be more complete, more comprehensive, more thorough. So they said, within 4 months, we should be able to index the entire planet. And at the end of their 4 months, they hadn't even gotten like any little small portion done yet. And I mean, their business model
started. Their money was gone, and
yeah, they're done. So they're all gone. They had a claim that they were going to be more comprehensive. As far as I know, there's no one now. There are some sites that are what I call search aggregators that some people believe are more comprehensive because they're searches of searches. The most common one I can think of people use is something called Dogpile. If you go to dogpile.com and you search there, what it does is it goes out and when you submit, you want to search for Mac repair. It will go out and search Google and bring back its results, and Yahoo and its results, and every other search engine, Ask Jeeves and all that kind of junk.
Every single one of them brings up Mac Media every time.
You're the number one?
It's amazing.
Yes, you guys are amazing. So, it searches everybody else's search engines and then combines all the results and brings them back. That, I suppose, might be more comprehensive. Some would argue that it's just the same results by different people. Your mileage may vary, but if you want to give that a shot.
Well, Ken and I were discussing using Twitter as a search engine.
Using Twitter as a search engine. No, you gotta. I'm not figuring this one out yet, so help me.
Well, because we were looking information up on Twitter, and because everybody's blogging these small little blogs that they put out, this information is so current.
So why wouldn't Google index all that?
Well, it kind of did, but you had to search for Twitter blogs in order to pull that information up.
Yeah, but if Google's all about getting relevant, right? If there was something more relevant in somebody's Twitter blog, wouldn't that somehow rank higher and therefore be more credible than?
But it was so new that it hadn't got picked up yet.
All right.
Because it was still indexing.
Gotcha.
There you go. All right.
People are going, what are they talking about?
I have no idea.
What are they talking
about?
Let's
just take a phone call.
Let's do that. Something that I think you guys talked about in the last couple of weeks might have been something called IP television, and that's a question that Mark has something to do with. Mark? Maybe Mark? Mark going once, twice? Did I do something wrong? Maybe we got no Mark. All right, let's put Mark back where we found him, and we'll move on to instead.
Mark could have been on an iPhone.
He could have been. Mark. And he thought he was talking to us, but he wasn't. Oh, we have Mark? All right, we're going to try Mark one more time.
Hello.
Oh, we had technical difficulties. Our fault, Mark. Sorry about that. How can we help you, sir?
Okay, I saw your article on KTAR.com about IPTV. I was unable to get into their website because at the bottom you said on the net, instant access television.
Okay.
Does this instrument record?
So first of all, we're doing a show here on KTAR, but I'm not 100% sure what's on the website. So I can talk to you about IP television, but whatever device it's talking about, I'm not 100% familiar with what you're referring to at the moment.
Okay. Anyhow, is this an instrument that records?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. What instrument are we talking about?
I think he's talking about IPTV stuff in general.
Well, yeah. So the term IPTV just means a different. So in the old days, you would get things over the air. You would get things from a satellite, or you get things from a cable, right? These days, there's a fourth mechanism where you can get information, and specifically television. That's through your broadband internet connection. And so there's a device that you plug in to your broadband connection and then to your television that would allow you to stream that television channel on your TV. And the device, I suppose it could have the ability to record. And
I think it would depend on the device. They all vary. So as far as features, one may not be the same as the other.
Right. So you're going to have to check with, if you're thinking about getting into this IP television, which is fairly new, your results may be a little limited at the moment, but whoever you're thinking about joining their service, you'd want to ask them that question about their device, because there are multiple devices out there for multiple providers.
Okay, very good.
Okay?
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Does the device record?
You know, I think a lot of the recording features actually stem from the computer itself, not the device that the information is going to.
Yeah, well, they're like set-top boxes now. And this is, the IP television's actually been around for a few years. It started in like a lot of things that are internet-related, it started in the adult entertainment world, shall we say. And it's now starting to move into the mainstream. But the box is nothing different than a cable box. It just doesn't get it from a piece of coax. It gets it from your broadband connection. And certainly the technology to record and playback on demand has been around for a long, long time, so I'm sure that there are boxes that exist that have that capability built into them, or you could do it certainly through a PC. That would be no problem.
And that would also depend on the content that you're getting, because some of this content is obviously protected legally.
Oh. Right.
Due to the fact that you might be pulling from different websites that might be owned by different news companies.
Yep. I have TiVos at my house, and if I download stuff, TiVo has a cool feature where I'm watching a program and I record it on my TiVo in my bedroom. If I try to watch it out in the living room, most everything you can watch no problem, but there are certain shows every now and then, especially if I get stuff off of like MHD, which is MTV's HD feed. A lot of those shows, like concerts and things, you can record and watch on the same device, but you can't transfer and watch on another device.
And then the ones that you do transfer, don't you have to put a passcode in there?
If you transfer them off to a different device,
yeah.
Other than other TiVos, then sometimes yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, there's different. It's what's called digital rights management. It's been around for a long time, especially with music. Like if you download something from iTunes, you can't go and just give it to Ben. Ben's got to go buy it himself. But you can transfer it from your iPod to your computer and back again, that kind of thing. So anyway, it's a little bit complicated stuff, but what he was asking specifically about, you got to check with whoever the provider of the box is, because it's like asking, well, does this car have four-wheel drive? Well, what's the model and make of the car? I don't know. Do cars have four-wheel drive? Well, some do, some don't. You know, that kind of idea. So, anyway, before we take, if we take another call, then Pete's going to get mad because we're going to go long for a break. And he's shrugging his shoulders. All right. Well, we're going to do it dangerously then.
Yeah.
Steph, welcome to the Computer Corner. You've been holding so patiently. We appreciate that. How can we help?
Not a problem. I have a question. Your best opinion as far as, do you think my computer, possibly the motherboard or something like that, is going bad? What happened a while back was the keyboard would just quit working. And then I thought, maybe it was a connection because I have it attached to an extension. So I ended up taking the extension out, thinking maybe that connection was bad, plugging it directly into the computer. It still did it. I finally threw that away, got a new keyboard. It still happened. And then it finally seems to be better, but then the mouse started doing the same thing as far as it would just quit. So I threw the mouse away, got another one. When I do a complete reboot of the system, it says there is keyboard failure, but yet if I let it simply go through, the keyboard will work.
Sound like a USB power issue?
Well, is the keyboard mouse, do they plug into USB ports, or do they plug into little round ports that we call PS2 ports?
They did do the round and say, then I put them in different places, do the USB
okay.
To try and figure out what the heck was going on. And so I've had them in the USB ports now.
So things work now when they're in the USB ports, but you get this strange message when you start up your computer from nothingness?
So far for the last, because I just got through ditching the mouse and got a brand new mouse.
Okay.
And so far so good, but again, the last time I rebooted it, when the mouse did fail, then say it comes up this keyboard failure again. So,
right.
And I'm just wondering, I do have my information backed up, but the question is, should I just get a new computer, anticipate this thing is basically on its last legs or not?
My guess is, something has probably happened to the connectors or to the information, for the way the information gets processed from the keyboard and mouse from its native, what we call those PS2 ports.
Okay.
So you've bypassed that and gone with USB, which sort of bypasses the problem, but the problem is still there. Your machine's probably, not real long for this world, but at the same time, if you want to ride it out, there's probably no danger as long as you're keeping things backed up. You should be okay.
Okay. And when I go to the new one, do I lose all of my Microsoft Outlook information, or does that...
Only if you just go down to the guy with three whiskers on his face and say, hey, I need a new computer, and then he won't know how to help you. But if you get somebody that, that knows what they're doing, that's a professional in this world, everybody in this room, we would know exactly how to help you get your information from your Outlook over to your new computer and that kind of stuff. So,
but if it dies, I'm out of luck or not?
No. First of all, you keep doing the right thing with backing up. That's that's your fallback. But in most cases, the thing dies. That means it just doesn't boot up anymore.
Right.
For guys like us, we would take the physical drive out of your old machine, put it in your new, copy your data over, and get you helped out. So that's not a big deal.
Okay. One other quick question.
Tell you what, Steph, I'm running long for a break here, so I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'm going to take you off the air and help you with that one other quick question. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Rich, Pete, and Henry. It's the Computer Corner. Back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's our final segment here. In case you missed any part of the show, if you didn't get to ask your question, you need some kind of help, you're looking for a job. That's what we were talking about today as far as the theme. We've got resources for you that are posted from here to infinity and beyond, Ben, to Google and beyond.
What is it at, Brandon?
Datadoctors.com/radio. It lives there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't eat. It doesn't get sick. It doesn't go on vacation. It just hangs out there, the information that is.
It's Googling.
Does it restart?
Very occasionally, but you'll never know. How many times have you gone to the website and it's not been there for you?
Never.
See? It's just there. It's just there. It's ubiquitous. Look that one up. Look that one up.
Am I going to find it?
You never did that sit-up. Our listeners will never know. He never did the sit-up.
He's just going to claim he has.
You got to hold his feet to the fire.
He's going
to
claim. He's going to go home. He's going to be like, I did 50 sit-ups.
Yeah. And if you missed any part of the show, if you missed any parts of any past shows, we keep the audio archives there available for you. You just click where it says previous shows, and you can go back in time. This here show will be up available, I'm sure, shortly after the show, usually Monday or so.
Unless Pete strikes it dead.
Pete can't strike it dead from here. He can. Yeah, look at him. So, any further delay, let's see if we can help out the final remaining folks that are sitting there on hold, because they've been holding so long and they've been patient enough to hang with us that we want to help them out. And up next, it's Rich on the Computer Corner. Rich.
Yes, I'd like to learn how to program. Do you have any websites or any other information on how I would begin learning programming?
Well, so you're programming is like saying I want to learn how to cook, and then you got to pick sort of a type of cooking. So do you want to learn to barbecue? Do you want to learn to flambé, which is Lewis's most favoritist? There's programming itself is I can write, I can build websites, I can build applications, I can do a lot of things.
Depends on the language.
What is it you want to try to accomplish at the end of the day? Do you have some kind of goal in mind?
I'm a truck driver, and I'd like to add some stuff, perhaps, as far as accounting and maintenance and all that other stuff. And the programs that I'm aware of don't seem to be able to do everything.
Okay. So the first thing I would suggest, writing software is a pretty serious endeavor. There's lots and lots and lots of stuff out there off the shelf that does... For example, basic accounting and inventory and those kinds of things. If that's what you're interested in, I'd check what's out there and available or get somebody that can help you.
Okay.
also a lot of industry-specific or verticalized softwares out there, specifically for an industry. For example, Lewis is in a business like we are, where we sell things and sell services, and so he uses a point-of-sale application that's made specifically for Macs in his case.
Sure.
That allows him to run his business. We use a point-of-sale application in concert with a CRM or customer relationship management software, right, that work together with our accounting package to run our business, that kind of thing. So there's lots of things out there. And I guess what I'm telling you is don't learn programming. Go learn how to find the software you want. If you really want to learn programming, that's a whole nother serious business out there. And you could start by looking at your local community colleges and things. There's certainly lots of books and resources and things online. There's just tons and tons of stuff out there, but you got to have a sort of a starting point. And right now, just saying programming generically, there's a billion places to go.
He might want to even flash back to one of our previous shows on crowdsourcing.
Yeah.
And engage. And it was called crowdsourcing. And basically what you're doing is you're using everybody's knowledge as a whole to help you come up with a solution.
Crowdsourcing, if you don't know what that
crowdsourcing is.
Yep,
okay.
Go Google crowdsourcing and you'll find out exactly what that means.
Okay.
All right, so we kind of pointed you in a few directions there, but you got to figure out where you're trying to go, and then from there I think it's going to become a little more obvious.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Rich. We appreciate it. With that, that's going to pretty much wrap us up. So Pete and Henry, if you two sit tight, we're going to take care of your questions off the air. We appreciate you hanging in there. We appreciate everybody for joining us. Again, if you missed any parts of the show, Ben, tell them where they can go find all the 411.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
And, of course, we'll have those audio archives from this show posted up shortly. Lewis from Mac Media, where can they find you during the week?
If you're a Mac freak like I am, MacMediaInc.com.
And until next time, if you don't need it, don't install it. We'll see you next week.